Dorset. I were born in Melbourne, in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to know the history about me date of birth, do you? Or do you?
Yeah, stick it all in. Well, somebody will ask in 20 years.
As far
time.
As I know, I was born on the 4th of August, 1927.
Oh.
And I was 4th of August until I was 65. Mm-hmm. And when I was 65, I had a phone call, a letter come to say they'd pay me pension in
mm-hmm.
on the 12th of August. And I thought, oh, wait, 12th of August, my birthday's on the 4th. So I rung him up and I said, look, my birthday's on the 4th. I said, why are you paying it in on the 12th? And she said, not according to our record. Our record says 12th. I said, I'm sorry, I said, but I said, I've had 65 birthdays and they've always been the 4th of August. I said, that's all right, come in this afternoon, your birth certificate, and we'll put it right. So I went upstairs and got my birth certificate. Do you know what was on the birth certificate? The 12th. And I've always had my birthday on the 4th. I registered for the army on the 4th. Everything.
Passport and everything.
Everything is the 4th. Even the doctors, yeah. Everything's the 4th. And because they must have got that, I don't know.
They probably went and registered it on the 12th.
That's what
and
I
without
reckon.
Thinking, put the date of the registration mm-hmm. rather than the date of the birth.
Yeah. I reckon they done yeah. the birth certificate wrong.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, let's face it, my family must have known my birthday wrong.
I would have thought so.
I wouldn't have known, but I mean, they must have done.
Yeah.
And that's how.
Yeah.
But like I said, I was born in Newtown and I lived there. So we got married, I suppose, mm-hmm. and then we went to Wheatell Way, and then we went back up to Newtown when Father went up the farm,
mm-hmm.
when they built the farmhouse, 1955, something like that,
mm-hmm.
and then we went back up Newtown then,
yeah.
and then when Father was 65, he come back to Newtown and we went up the farm. We took over the farm in 65. And we stayed there till 1993.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought this up here. Stephen was up here for a few years. And we had this ready to go into. Stephen lived in here till we retired. And then he bought a house. And we've lived here. Since 1993, we've been retired 24 years.
Goes quick once you retire, doesn't it?
But, it's a surprise now the time to go, isn't it?
Mm. So what was the village like when you were growing up? It must have been completely different.
Well, it was a village.
Mm.
We knew everybody. My sister passed away back in January. And we could sit, and we have done, sit and name everybody
that Manor lived Road,
everywhere
and
in Melbourne Port. My mother, after the First World War, Father got the land through being coming out of the army, he got the land. And my mother went round with a can and dipper.
Yeah.
And we used to, as kids, me and my sister, we used to go round as kids and deliver as well, for school in the morning.
That's what my dad used to do when we lived in Kent.
And after school, we used to deliver twice a day.
Yeah.
And we would dip the milk. I got a dipper out there now that my mother used.
Wonderful.
When she started. I'll show it to you in a minute.
Mm. That's the sort of thing we need in the museum later on.
Yeah, you ain't getting that.
No.
And so then, like I say, we delivered milk then until we left school, and then my sister left school and stayed home and worked Clement and Clement and help father and mother as well, farming. And when I left school, I stayed on, and then I took on the milk round when I was old enough to drive. Mm. And we started using bottles then, obviously. Yeah. And that's how it all went. And of course, 2 years before we retired, I said to Stephen, see if you can make a living on a milk round. Because we were buying milk then. We were buying it in, we weren't bottling it. We used to produce it, bottle it, and do it all. Mm-hmm. But then when Stephen coming up that we were retired, they wouldn't let Stephen have the farm, see? Mm-hmm. They wouldn't let third generation have it. So I said, well, see if you can make a living with the milk round. And he took on the milk round. And done it ever since.
Yeah. You built
it. So that's how it. But I mean, with regards to Melbourne was it was a village. We knew everybody and everything else, you know. I mean, I can remember when I were young, we used to meet up down on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
That was when the cross was...
Where the library is now. Yeah.
That was always the place. If you ever wanted to meet, if you were arranging mm-hmm. to meet anybody anywhere, they're always with me dead on cross. It's always the same. And
in the boys' brigade, trying a lot to do.
Oh yeah, I was in the boys' brigade. I joined the boys' brigade when I was 12.
That was a big thing in the village, wasn't it? The boys' brigade.
Well, and we had guys up.
For chairman.
Emma's get where she can so that they can be on display.
But I were in the boys' brigade from. I joined when I was 12. And you there, Matt?
Yeah.
Come on in.
Come in.
I'm just finishing up the tea.
I was in boys' brigade when I was 12 till I was 21, I suppose.
Oh.
I went right through, and I finished up as staff sergeant.
Oh.
In the boys' brigade, but.
I mean, I know they had a band and they went on camps, but what other sort of things did they do?
Well, I mean, cause we had Bible class. Mm. Always had Bible class on a Monday. And then we had the boys' brigade on Thursdays, I think. We used to have the boys' brigade. But it used to be twice a week we used to go.
Well, Sandy, up at the back of them.
At the back of the chapel we used to have the Bible class.
Yeah, up at the chapel. That's where it all went on.
Mm. Yeah. Up at the back of the chapel. And
I think you used to have whist drives, didn't you? That was at the co-op.
That was the back of the co-op. Yeah, whist drives there. That was the labour club there.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. When I was young, I used to go there, whist drives, and at the conservative club, we used to have whist drives as well. Yeah. But
that's the only kind of thing that it was. But like I said, we had guides.
Well, it's life boys, wasn't it? That was the junior boys' brigade.
Yeah, brownies.
Brownies was the junior.
And then we used to
guide
Sunday school, and we used to.
Yeah, Sunday school.
Yeah, we used to go down every mm-hmm. Easter. We used to walk down to go to a church. Vicar mm-hmm. would walk with us, and we had to behave ourselves, but we didn't. We used to trim his hat up, walk behind him and trim his hat up with flowers. Of course, he didn't know it. Nobody told him. We used to go on in church and look so that everybody used to laugh. That's where we used to go. Oh, dear. Well, that's all there was, because there was nothing else for the goat, was there? Mm. Oh, well, the girls' choir. I don't know if you got anything for the girls' choir. Mr. Sinclair.
I've heard the name Mrs. Sinclair. But
yeah, he was. Mm. Yeah, he did the organ in the church. He was choir master.
Mm.
And his daughter, she's been on them. Once a year we always watch it.
Royal Variety.
Yeah. And she sang there.
Oh.
Yeah, they're all musical. And when he left the village, that old...
Well, he was choirmaster at church, see, Mr. Sinclair. He was the choirmaster down the church.
He used to be on church road.
I sang in the choir for years, you know, when I was younger days. But, I mean, when we went to Sunday school, they used to have bus trips down to Weymouth. Now it's, you know, that was the only place ever we went.
Five coaches used to go from our Sunday school. That was Milburn Wick.
Yeah.
Goat Hill.
Church, and then we used to go down to Weymouth. And that was really, I suppose, the only trip we ever had. Never had cars, did it?
No, we never had cars. No,
nothing to go anywhere. Mm.
So that was our outing of the year. Five coaches. I don't know if the Sunday school's still going or not.
I can remember when Mr. Ari Allett bought a car. He was the only chap up in Newtown that had a car. I can remember that. And he had a car, and then Billy, his brother, bought one up there. And there was only cars in Newtown.
We used to walk around with the milk, but then
there weren't
so many houses.
Harry Allett, see, used to go around with milk. Billy Allett used to go around with milk. I got a list upstairs. I don't know if you had the list from John House of all the businesses in Milburn Port in 1932.
He brought that down to the museum on Monday.
Well, he said he got fed up with us.
Yeah.
Because he'd come up and ask us, and then when we'd think of some more and where another shop was, bringing it up, and he said, "No, I'm finished now, I'm not going to bother anymore."
I think we've been dozens after he'd done one.
Mm.
But I could remember other people, like John.
But this is why these sort of things are good, because memories come out when you're talking, which you don't remember.
No.
You know, at the time, but
there was three shops up at Newtown.
That's what I find hard to remember. We moved here in 1980, and there were a lot more shops then than there are now. But even then, Newtown was just houses. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, three shops in Newtown. It finished up with just one at the bottom of Newtown there.
Where were they? Where were they?
One was in the first house... on the left-hand side going up the handle in Newtown. Not new ones, that's two new ones, but the first house, old house, that was Lily Annam. She and there. That's the only one that I can actually say I can remember. But there were two others, one up around the right-hand side and one up the top somewhere. That's the only ones I could...
But it's in their houses, it wasn't like shops.
It's in the house.
Just use the front room.
Use the front room. And, but Mrs. Hannum's, I mean, she were open for years. I remember my grandfather lived in Manor Road with my auntie. I can remember him giving me a shilling. And I used to go up to the Lily Annam's and buy an ounce of Red Bell. And I used to be able to spend, that was 10p 8p, and I used to be able to spend the penny 8p on sweets. And I went down Lily Annam's one day, mother sent me down for some, and obviously she said, "You can have some sweets or something, I suppose." And I went down there, and met Lily Annam in the corner of her shop, she had a table. And it was all this cheap stuff, you know, you could get so many for 8p and all that business. And I went down there and said to her, "Mother said I didn't have to have nothing off your rubbish table." she went from mother over that. But I mean, a kid like, I'm only a kid.
Oh, you're telling the truth.
And she said, "Don't have anything off the rubbish table." But I mean, we used to go to Lily Annam's, we used to use it, and then we used to have all our groceries off to the bloke that had the shop down Gainsborough, see.
That's what you were told about.
I've got a nice photo of it from Richard Duckworth. He'd got a nice photo of the shop on Gainsborough.
Well, we used to have all our shopping from there. And they used to come round and with an order book. Come round and come indoors and you write down all you want and then deliver it.
Yeah.
A bit different now.
But it's all different. I mean, when Muriel, I suppose, could be the last time that my sister come up here and sat where you're sat now. And we went right down through Manor Road, right way down through Manor Road, and we could name everybody that lived
both down sides,
through Manor Road, both sides.
Then we done Bolton's Orchard
and Southview.
I tell you what I would love. What are the names, the surnames you remember of the main families from when the village was still a village?
Well,
Luffman's is always a good name.
And the Hallett's, obviously.
Hallett's. Yeah, that wasn't the Hallett's, the paper shop Hallett's.
No.
That was the Hallett's, the farmer. Old John Hallett lived at Newtown and he had three sons. He had Harry Hallett, Billy Hallett, and what was the other one's name? Margaret Hallett's father.
Oh gosh.
There were three brothers, didn't you? It was a big family of them. And
one of the village girls are over here.
Yeah, the
girl's
daughter
is living over here. She's
Bill Hallett's. Same age as Ben.
She's
90 the week before I should be 90. So, but the Hallett's, like I said, there were several Hallett's.
One of them was Mitchell's.
Yeah.
Harold Mitchell and that.
Yeah, Mitchell's. Well, I mean, the Davises, I mean, Keeper Davis, which was my father's cousin, lived down in the Keeper's Lodge.
Down near us.
You know where that's to. And that was the Davises, and he had several sons, and they lived in Melbourne. Mm. But, I don't know. Durrance is another one. It's another name, see. Mm. It's a typical Melbourne name.
We've got a chap who comes to the history group a lot. He's an archaeologist. And he's fascinated by the families that have been here for years and years and wants to trace them back. So all these names, I shall tell him. You look into those names then.
Yeah,
I knew. I was just thinking of somebody else.
I was going to say the Hallett's. There's a long family of them, and they were relation to the Dewfalls that used to make the bread in Henstridge, the bakery in Henstridge. That were a relation to them, wasn't it?
Well, people married people that was either sure born.
People married. Right.
We never travelled.
They didn't travel about. Traveled.
So, But we never had any houses. I mean, all the houses at
Bolton's Orchard.
Bolton's Orchard.
All the houses in Bolton's Orchard belonged to the Thomas Ensor's.
Mm.
And Thomas Ensor's owned a lot of Newtown as well at one stage.
Mm.
And of course, you know about the sale of Melbourne, Newtown.
Mm.
Well, my father, when Newtown was sold, it was Wharton Way was the solicitors when they sold that. And I don't know if you've got a catalogue of that. Have you?
No, I've got the photograph of the plan, but I haven't got the catalogue.
Well, Merrill's father had the catalogue, didn't it? Bolton's, that's another well-known name, Bolton's. And but when that was sold, my father bought 56 Newtown for £25. My grandfather bought next door 55 for £26. My auntie bought 57 for about the same figure. And my grandfather bought number 13 Newtown. I don't really know what he gave for. Could have been 40,000, 50 pound.
Mm.
And then he bought the paddock, which where the houses are built, Victoria Terraces are built. Now that used to belong to us, or my grandfather, and then he left it to my father. And he bought that. And he also bought a block of the allotments in the middle of Newtown when Newtown was sold.
Cool.
And that is what we sold. And then when we lived there in 56 Newtown, and when my sister was 12, of course, it was only two bedrooms, we slept in the same room. Yeah. They wouldn't allow after your 12-year-old to sleep in the same room. So father bought the next door, 55, off of my grandfather, and put the two houses in one, and it's still...
So, yeah, having an evacuee suddenly move in with you, though. Because we hear a lot about... And I mean, it must have been hard for the kids that came.
It was.
But it must also have been hard for the kids who were here, who were suddenly lumbered with an extra one.
It was all right till you realised that they had lice in their hair.
Well, that family there, Minnie, she wasn't actually evacuee in the first place, but her sister and her brother come down here as evacuees and stayed with... They didn't stay with us, they stayed with our family, the auntie and that. And then Minnie and her mother come on down. Minnie was older,
yeah,
and she come on down as well, and stayed with us then right the way through the war. And then they went all back there.
They lived then where the Ferraris lived, didn't they?
Yeah, in the end,
they made into two flats. And our school teacher, he come down with evacuees.
Southampton
he was, because we had a load from Southampton as well. And he taught us, but he was in the bottom flat, and your auntie was up the top. The Friaries down by the school.
Yeah.
You know, the big house.
Yeah, I know it.
Well, that's where they were.
Ah.
Yeah, their name were Davis, see, Minnie Davis. And they come with us.
Mm.
Like I say, with regards to evacuees, we had lots of trouble with them. They had lice in their hair. I mean, they couldn't help it. It had nothing to do with them. But
yeah, two girls.
We had lots of trouble.
Two sisters, and they're beautiful as hair that you could ever... Oh, curls, beautiful. And I used to, after they moved in, I used to itch. I just said to my dad, I said, I've got itches everywhere, all of my hair and everywhere. He said, well, I don't know what you're talking about. So I went over to my gran's at Bishop Scandal, and I said to her gran, I said, you wouldn't look at my head, would you? She said, my God. She said, you've got fleas in your hair. Do you know, I think I cried from Bishop Scandal and before. And my dad, he looked at their hair when we got home, and they were just lousy. And he used to stay night after night, and he used to put newspaper down by the window and sit there, and he would stay there and put this stuff on their heads.
Yeah.
It took ages to get rid of them. Oh,
but I mean, we had evacuees then, and then during the war, my auntie lived in Yeovil. My mum's sister lived in Yeovil, and she had eight children.
Yeah.
Her husband died when the youngest were a baby. She had eight children, and she worked and kept them. And when they bombed Yeovil, they hit their house.
Mm-hmm.
And we had all them up here. As well as our evacuees. I mean, you can't believe it, really. But when you think back, you think, well, how the hell did we manage with them all?
But we did.
Yeah.
Did it?
Yeah.
And then they eventually got another house back there, and well, they all went on back. But they all come on up here. Father went out for them all up.
What else are you going to do if they've got nowhere to go?
We couldn't do nothing. She never had a husband. And we had them all up here, because we were a big family. Like, I mean, one had so many, and somebody else had so many of them. And that's how we done it. But we were sleeping all over the house, downstairs, upstairs, everywhere else. But would they do that today? I don't know.
I don't know. No.
I suppose we done it.
Surprising the things that were done when the war was on.
Mm.
I don't even remember.
And we had black soldiers, black Americans down Opposite Co-op.
Yeah, on Limerick Field, yeah.
They were all in there in tents, and they used to do their cooking where the fences, right, you know, they used to have their kitchen there, didn't they? And the chimney was smoking all day. And then down the bottom of you in the lodge, going into the back of the van, that was darkies in there.
That one we called the museum.
The museum it was.
On the corner, and then you went into a house there.
They used to have dances down there,
and they used to have dances down there, and all the Americans and that when they were here.
Someone said there were white Americans here as well, and there was trouble when the white ones turned up because they didn't get on with the black ones.
They
used to get us into trouble. I remember going down there once, right down the gardener's cottage, down the back of, what's the name of the place opposite Club?
On Thimble Lane?
No. Back of Club. Opposite Club.
Cross House.
They had the gardener's cottage they took over at the bottom of there.
Oh yeah, I know, the one right
down. I remember when they used to come there and they'd drink cider, because cider were the Americans
that was
were
beautiful,
like drinking, you know, honey, wasn't it, to them? They used to drink that. I remember going down there, we used to go down there, and then you'd get cigarettes and all sorts off of them, and they used to go on.
Well, that was the only life that we had, I suppose.
Yeah.
So when did you get married?
1950.
So it only just after the war, wasn't it?
Yeah, down our church. We all got married. We did, and our three boys. Children. We all got married down
three children.
Church.
So we got married in 1950, and Mira was married before that, wasn't she?
Yeah.
That's Mr. Holbrook. You know about Mr. Holbrook, I suppose, he's the vicar.
No.
The vicar, Mr. Holbrook. He did always Richard Duckworth, he said very often talk about Mr. Holbrook.
But he didn't ever had a car.
No, he used to walk everywhere. But he used to visit. Mm-hmm. Which our vicar don't do today.
You never see a vicar now.
If you don't go to church, you don't see the vicar.
The last vicar I knew that visited was George Shrimpton.
Yeah.
When we first moved
here. He was another Mr. Holbrook.
Yeah.
He was lovely.
But during the summer, he would always wear a straw hat.
That's what I said. We dressed up when we go down
there. He always wore a straw hat.
He used to walk out to Goatill.
Mm-hmm.
Once a week,
yeah,
and then he used to go to Melbourne walk.
Mm-hmm.
He was I don't know what to call him, a bit eccentric, wasn't he?
Mm.
But still, he was nice.
He lost his wife, didn't he, really? Didn't
he? And he married again.
And he married another woman, and he had...
She was nice. I used to like her.
But,
No, I didn't like Buxton.
Well, Mr. Buxton come here, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, George, he wouldn't have left me at the village if it weren't for his wife.
Yeah.
No. Because she wanted to get into it as well.
Was one of us.
Just have a chat.
Yeah, I remember
lovely chat.
When he come here, he come up farm. And he come out to me out in the cow stall, and he asked whether I, you know the thing that they have at Christmas in the church, the
crib.
Yeah.
Well, I thatched that. I was the first one to thatch that. They brought it up farm, and I done it up farm. And they've had it done since, obviously. I remember a few years ago, 40 years ago, I don't know, that must be 40 years ago.
I used to love him. He was a nice man.
Yeah.
used to always say, lovely cup of tea, Margaret, and I like your cup. Every time you come, you used to walk up. I don't know what he had. I mean, he had the children. I mean, he let them do what they liked, but they were a nice family.
Mm.
But then my sister's daughter was getting confirmed, so she had to go to the vicarage to have her lessons up. And she went down there one night and knocked the door, rung the bell, whatever. And next thing, she were wet through. The children were up in the window over her, and they just threw a bowl of water over. She had to stay in that wet coat, but oh, that's how they were. I mean, they'd just done what our kids did.
What?
And when they'd go to a jumble cell, we used to help at the jumble cells. She'd buy something at the jumble cell for them. They had it on before they went home. They used to dance around and say, look what we got, look what mother. You know, they were so proud of it. And I think myself, well, there aren't many pickers.
Oh, you were one of us, weren't you?
No, he was.
But like the Buxtons.
Don't say too much because.
Don't say too much about the Buxtons. Yeah, but like I say, I don't know what else I can say.
Oh, we used to have a fair.
Yeah, Fred Pierce, he wrote quite a bit about the fairs. When
I've got a book, but it's only a bit in there, isn't it?
I remember a couple of chaps that used to, they come from Short North on, one did, and one from Melbourne Wick. And they used to, one of them used to have a motorbike, and ride a motorbike. And we went to the fair up Gainsborough one day, and we were outside talking to them outside, and they got on their motorbike and went to Sherborne, and at the bottom of Dog's Cross they met another chap from Melbourne on a motorbike, and they collided together, and two got killed, one from Melbourne Wick got killed, and the other chap from Melbourne Port got killed, and the other one, he escaped it, he didn't get killed, but. And that was at the fair, and we were up there at the fair and when they went on.
Yeah.
That was a sad day, that weekend, that was.
One of the girl from lived in Manor Road, she married one of them.
Oh.
The Townsend
it got
was.
A book on that,
huh? They're fair, well, yeah, but I don't think it's worth giving. Yeah. It's not much about Melbourne at all.
Yeah.
But, their base was Weymouth in the winter, and then we went over, and there was a cell over the hall, was that year before last, wasn't it? And this girl was there selling these books, and I looked and I said, oh, fair. I said to her, Townsend's fair. She looked at me and she said, well, you don't know who I am, do you? And I said, no. She said, well, I'm Esme Dayton's daughter. Oh, I said, now I know why you've got the books on the fair. And she said, yeah, but she said, Mum's dead and Dad's dead and rattling on, you know. And I said, well, I never thought I'd see you again after you left the village. Nice girl.
I don't know what else.
That's the only entertainment we used to have, I suppose.
Tell me about Melbourne, really.
Well, I expect
we've
got it all.
I expect we've got most
of it. Yeah, but it's interesting to hear different people's slant on things, isn't it?
If you go on a club, have you got any info on the club?
Not a lot. We've got some stuff from the club, thanks to Steve, when he was clearing out Fred's stuff.
Well, I took over chairman down there in 1970. And the club was on a bit of a low. We were, we had to struggle to get it back up. And I was chairman down there for 32 years.
Cool.
That club.
You must have seen some changes.
Yeah, I did. And, we worked down there for nothing to start with, to get it back up, you know.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't the only one, there was lots of them did to get it back up. And yeah, our chairman there were 32 years, and our chairman on the parish council were 25 years.
So you saw lots of changes go through in
both. I've been on the commonality for 40 years.
That's something I've got to do some research on as well.
Commonality.
doing a talk about the history of it in September.
Are you?
Yeah, but that's the old history, not what's going on now. I wouldn't attempt anything about now.
No, well, Richard had put you right.
Yeah, I'm seeing him next week anyway. Yeah. So.
But I went on there when, I mean, I'm the oldest one on there now.
I can remember saying
never forgot it.
No, and I thought...
Or when they built Packers Road and all that lot there. I mean, that was really the big... Yeah. Build in Melbourne when they done Pankhurst Road. Well, all that right the way around, it was all Greensea. And when they built that, that was the big build in Melbourne. Mm. Yeah. But,
I should like to have seen the old people's home, what they were going to set, they were going to build.
Yeah,
I said, because. There's so many old English, loads of us getting older, and when you've got to look for a nursing home, where can you find a nursing home? I mean, to get a nursing home down Yobo, it's dreadful.
But I often wonder whether it is a sprat to catch a mackerel when they say they want a nursing home there.
Yeah.
You know. Whether that's the sprat to catch the 30 or 40 ounces. Well, when, you know now, back it's your job. I mean, that's what they do.
Yeah. When they
come to brass tacks, that piece of land opposite the co-op, that is where the town hall should have been built.
Village hall.
Doctor's surgery.
Village hall, town hall, whatever. Village hall. Should have been built there, and you could add everything there. You could add a library there, a lot.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of the village. But Dykes built all them houses in there, and that was that. You could do no more. But the annoying part about it is, I mean, they were the first ones in Melbourne to build in Melbourne, Dykes. And then after that, oh, they didn't want no more houses in Melbourne. Mrs. Cole were always against it. No more houses in Melbourne, but then they'd already done their bit.
They were the first ones to sell.
Yeah. That opposite of the first houses built.
Well, I said that's Melbourne. Where it ought to have been, really.
Well, then that field opposite Dr. Gledale's.
Yeah,
well, he were dead against it, because when they were on about building the surgery.
Yeah.
They were on about building it there.
Yeah. But that would have been nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would have been more central than what that is up there. I mean, it's nice up there, but it would have been more central to Melbourne. But he was all dead against that, see? Because, I mean, it's NIMBY, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all NIMBY, everything. Nobody, don't worry where it is built. Isn't that we don't want it, but we don't want it on our in our backyard, you know? There's a NIMBY thing. But, I mean, it would have been nice there, because a shop would be nice there.
Yeah.
The co-op could move across to there.
I'm sorry for there. The co-op, really, because...
The trouble is, Melbourne got big and the co-op ain't got no bigger.
Well, it can't. No, it's stuck, isn't it?
Although saying that, see, out the back of the co-op, I mean, at the back of that co-op, they used to have a place there, and it was big enough for a full-size billiard table, and we used to play whist up there all the way around it. So it was, that's a biggish room. Well, what about the world is closer now. It's not nowhere so far. I mean, I had two uncles in Canada. I mean... You never ever, when we were young, thought we'd ever go to Canada. Canada, that's miles away. And then in the end, my uncle come over here to dinner. And then, you know, and then we began to see one another. It brought Canada once so far away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.